I have wrestled with this issue and thought long and hard about this issue. Last year, I announced that it was my conclusion that allowing same-sex couples to marry was the right thing to do.
The president has spoken and did a big reversal. So $3 million later, John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, and some other Republicans picking up the bill, really you and I, the taxpayers, to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, DOMA, the federal law that defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman in the eyes of the federal government. It looks like the Supreme Court will probably shoot that one down. And that's where we begin America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. A big shout out to all of you in those nooks and crannies. I think we're seeing a little bit of spring. Ooh, jackets off or jackets on? What's it like in your neighborhood? It's been a very strange winter, to say the least. And a lot of people are getting sick because of the fact that winter is just dragging on. And I don't know that winter is completely done with us yet. We're done with the oral arguments when it comes to the Supreme Court, but there was lots of chatter about it, and it's not surprise. It's not a surprise because first we had Prop 8, which was the ban of same-sex marriage in California. That's being challenged. The Supreme Court heard those arguments on Tuesday, and on Wednesday it was about the Defense of Marriage Act, and as I just described it, that federal law. So you had people holding up signs, mom and dad do it best, it's for the kids. You had other people holding up signs, love is love, no matter who's in love. But a lot of people, you know, definitely out there waving their flags on both sides of the issue. And the court seemed, at least for DOMA, they seemed pretty skeptical on the whole federal marriage law in the first place. Like, you know, why is that? Isn't everybody supposed to be equal in this sense? And so this is pretty sketchy, even from the point of view of a man and a woman. What's the deal on this whole thing? Remember, this was a Bill Clinton deal. You go back to the fact that it passed overwhelmingly in 1996 in both houses of Congress and signed by President Bill Clinton, who's now saying that was a mistake. And a section of the law bars any federal agencies, basically, from recognizing same-sex marriages, even in states where they're legal. So that affects pensions and all that kind of stuff that normally a partner, let's say, would get. Some of the key things that happened, some of the things that were talked about, I mean, at actual issue, I guess we should say, before the court on Wednesday, was the application of the federal estate tax to a lesbian couple who had been married in Canada and lived in New York. Edith Windsor paid $360,000 in federal estate taxes and wants a refund on the grounds that she is the surviving spouse of Thea Spire, so a gay couple. And under federal law, property that passes to a surviving spouse is free from estate tax. So, because they're not recognized as a spouse, it's not free. So this was the challenge, the actual challenge, so you know, in this case. Justice Elena Kagan criticized DOMA, telling Clement, who is the guy who was defending it, that Congress had targeted gay people and a group that is not everybody's favorite group in the world, saying, do we really think that Congress was doing this for uniformity reasons, or do we think that Congress's judgment was infected by dislike, by fear, by animus, and so forth? Justice Sonia Sotomayor raised the question of whether, if the court finds Section 3 of DOMA unconstitutional, must the laws in most states that limit marriage to opposite-sex couples also be subject or be found unconstitutional? So it's the recognition of marriage that we're talking about here. Now, 2 years ago, the Justice Department stopped defending DOMA in court after the Attorney General, Eric Holder, told Congress that the president that he and the president had concluded that classifications based on sexual orientation were inconsistent with the Constitution. So then that got a lot of fire back from the conservative justices as far as the oral argument was concerned. But this looks like it's going to have a tough time. It looks like it's going to have a tough time holding up. And this is, you know, this is a day after, this is one day after the oral argument, a day after the court pretty much signaled that it's unlikely to issue any kind of a sweeping ruling declaring that same-sex couples have a constitutional right to marry. So here's the thing. Should the Supreme Court legalize gay marriage? Should the Supreme Court even be dealing with this? Should the justices even be dealing with this? Or is this a state's issue? Should this be a people's thing? That, okay, let the people decide. Let the people in these individual states have a vote, have a say in what's happened. That's what happened in California, but there was confusion in California over the way, supposedly, Prop 8 was worded. But it's either going to be a complete dodge here or there's going to be a surprise ruling in this. And remember, it's really, after you take all the emotion out of it, these justices are going to go with, yes, they have an ideology, but they're going to go with what the law will allow them to rule. Think of what happened with Obamacare and how that went down. How can I twist this so that I don't appear to be endorsing it, but legally it doesn't stand up to what we're trying to say it's, you know, it represents. So this is a historic gay marriage battle, but it's costing us $3 million and counting because we're paying for it. It's we, the taxpayers. Yes, we are paying for what is going on in this courtroom. So if for no other reason, why should you care? It's your pennies that are being used in this argument. And the Supreme Court has hinted, I've already said that don't look for some big sweeping changes here. I think when time goes by, though, that might change. That might not stand. They may move the needle much more than you would, think. We'll see. Coming up this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk a little hoops with Brandon Lang, our favorite odds maker. He does have a funny way of breaking down the games, and if you're a fan of college hoops, at least the Final 16, the Big Dance, you know, we're narrowing now pretty soon the Elite Eight and the Final Four and ultimately the winner, the final two that are left standing. He'll break down some of the games. There's a lot of Cinderella teams, the LaSalles out there, Florida Gulf Coast. Are you still alive in your bracket or has it just been too tough because of some of the big, big upsets we've already seen that have come down the pike and toppled a few people? You got to get those points as you move through. If you don't get the points, you know, then you're not going to be dancing there at the end. And some people win some pretty big money in these office pools. Nothing like the guy in New Jersey who got the Powerball lottery ticket in that liquor store in Passaic. But still some pretty good running around money anyway. Stay with us. We're kicking it to the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is John O'Toole with Midas Resources Gold and Silver Company. We have all heard of Rand Paul warning of an imminent currency crisis as a result of reckless spending on Capitol Hill and endless wars overseas. But what are we doing to prepare for it? China, India, and numerous other countries are buying up gold and silver by the ton because they know what's really going on. Don't you think it's time you do the same thing before it's too late? Call me, John O'Toole, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 133, and find out why gold and silver have been the true safe havens for over 5,000 years. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 133. I'll send you a booklet highlighting 10 reasons why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 133.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use EscapeHarassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Weapons of war have no place on our streets. Imagine what it would be if every weapon purchased could only be fired by the person who purchased it, and everyone who purchased the weapon was entitled to have that weapon. They had passed a background check. It could be a game changer. All their voices are silent now, but we cannot remain silent. We cannot remain silent.
All right, that's Joe Biden on the warpath once again. Whether it's a week off or not, Biden talking about guns, guns, guns. It's been over 100 days since Newtown, Connecticut. The push is on to see what's ultimately going to happen when it comes to the gun legislation. There's a lot of people who are skeptical as to whether or not anything will go through. I'm one of them. Who knows if even the background checks pass muster, in other words, get through Congress and the Senate, the president would sign it if that happens. But it seems like everything's really getting struck down in most of the bill that is out there. So does something, you know, ultimately does something change? You heard the vice president, you heard Biden there talking about, again, guns, and Obama signed 23 executive orders to curb gun violence and demanded that Congress pass an assault weapons ban in a sweeping set of measures. If you remember, right after the Newtown School massacre that happened mid-January, I mean, he did that and said, while there is no law or set of laws that can prevent every senseless act of violence completely, no piece of legislation that will prevent every going through every tragedy, every act of evil, if there's one thing we can do is reduce this violence, then if there's even one life that can be saved, we've got an obligation to do it. So that was his big stand in January. But now, where are we as far as support for gun legislation? And I would say It's really a coin flip. It's really up in the air. Probably more than that. I don't believe that anything super strong will pass. Maybe background checks, but there's some serious opposition even to that. So if I were reading the tea leaves, which I'm not accustomed to doing, but if I were reading the tea leaves, I would say a lot of it gets struck down, except for the obvious things, taking guns out of drug dealers' hands and that kind of stuff. There's a few little cupcake things that are in there that are obviously who's going to disagree with them. But other than that, I think the real teeth of it probably doesn't go all the way through. I don't see the full vote. I could be wrong, but I don't see the full vote on it. But there's going to be more conversation about it, that's for sure. It's not going to be just about guns when everybody's back the beginning of April. Also, immigration, illegal immigration is front and center. Is there going to be immigration reform? But how can you have all this immigration reform when, for goodness sake, at the borders, you're starting to see more chaos? And why are you seeing more chaos? Because of the sequester. Since the sequester happened, what also happened is a lot of people got cut out of the front lines. In fact, you know, we're talking about, if we're looking at numbers, because I'm all about quantifying, Pete Hoekstra, the former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, is predicting that it is becoming less secure because there was a miscalculation. If you look at what is being shrunk down as a result of the sequester, and trying to keep up with the sequester, there have been massive holes that are now right there on the front lines. For example, agents don't work 10-hour shifts, meaning the borders would be open and unattended during shift changes. They know that. They're saying they would make the move then. The cuts, which kick in April 7th, affect 4,000 agents. And that's because the government has eliminated overtime pay. And some agents have to drive for 2 hours to get to work. They may end up working as little as 5 hours a day during their patrols. And looking at that and along the border, that is pretty drastic because of how easy it would be to figure out when the shift change is. And there's no coverage there. So you have border cutbacks right after the President's State of the Union address and the push for this immigration reform next month after Congress gets back from recess. So it's kind of ridiculous. Let's keep America safe. Let's beef up security on the border. Oops, but only they're going to have to cut back. The reductions in border agents, and even somebody called us, are mandated furlough days and cuts in hours that could have some agents seeing their salaries cut by 40%, which is incredible. We had a caller that talked about that. 40% cut right now. Could you afford a 40% cut in your pay? And it's in a very small amount of time through September. I think it's going to be rough for a lot of people. And it's very hard to say that you're all for immigration reform when you can't even protect the borders, because this will make people be able to tear through. They'll know when the shift changes, and that's that. And that's a lot of agents. That's a lot of time open for really anything to happen. So I think Hoekstra's really right on this. Our borders are not safe under this sequester. If there is a real concern about who's coming through on the southern border and even the northern border, this would be the time. But what's interesting is a Rasmussen poll showed that 45% say the sequester is not deep enough because we are killing it and we're not making any dent in the deficit. Across the board, discretionary spending cuts totaling $85.4 billion kicked in March 1st, after Congress was unable to reach a budget agreement, as you all know. Since then, defense, domestic, and Medicare programs have seen their funding slashed more. So in a survey, Rasmussen found 45% of respondents said it didn't go far enough. 19% said they weren't sure. They're not sure how it should have gone. And the same Rasmussen poll found that just 12% think they have been hurt in a major way, and that's because they're not working for the government. It's the middle class or mid-manager types who are working for the government who are feeling the pain. It's not the big guys. It's not the big guys. It's the little guys that are getting skewered without a doubt. They're the ones who are getting hit. I mean, who are getting hit the hardest. Despite all these cries of helping the middle class, there is a middle class in the government, and they're the ones who are feeling the blowback, feeling the hours being sucked away from them that they can't, you know, that they cannot afford to lose because they have mouths to feed. And this was a fix. That's the whole idea, wasn't it? The government job was secure, and not in recent years with furloughs and concerns about revenue and deficits and lack of budgets. I'd say some people who at once thought they had such a great job are now maybe thinking a little bit differently about it, because that layup job that got you the great benefits, it's starting to erode right from underneath the feet of the people who are, especially are newly acquired in government gigs, taking them for a reason, all kinds of reasons, including for family reasons, and now it's not quite what it was. Coming up on America Tonight, a little bit of the news you can abuse mixed in with some top headlines, because there were some very strange things that happened. I don't know if there was something in the wind or what it was, but some strange things afoot that are just riddles that just can't seem to be solved. And we'll talk about them next, including the fact that a lot of family doctors are considering early retirement under Obamacare, but why is that? Why wouldn't they stick to their profession, ride it out until they're 65 or 67 or whatever it might be? But some of them are saying, forget it, I got my parachute and I am gone. That's next.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Virtually anyone could be tracking you right now through your cell phone. The fact is, anyone can track your calls, your texts, emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal.
That's the new warning from the American Civil Liberties Union. It's just released the results of an investigation that found law enforcement agencies across the country track personal cell phones on a regular basis as a form of surveillance.
That's why you need Block It Pocket. Block It Pocket is a standard or custom designed cloth pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday
enclosure for any mobile device. With Block It Pocket, all incoming and outgoing signals are blocked, including harmful radiation, and your device cannot be hacked or tracked by anyone. Handmade in the USA, Block It Pocket costs less than $30 and ships free to the lower 48. Call 888-315-9618 or click Block It Pocket, spelled BlockItPocket.com. Block It Pocket, enhancing health and privacy.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Friends, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We've talked about this for a long time, though. I just want the true skinny on whatever it is, affordable health care, Obamacare, whatever we want to call it. What was the true skinny? What don't we know? What do we need to know? And this is really the truth. Deloitte did a survey of U.S. doctors and found that 57% of doctors say, look, the changes under the Affordable Care Act are threatening. And 6 in 10 say they probably will retire earlier than planned in the next year or two because of all these issues with the healthcare system and the doctor already coping and the nurses shortages and all that stuff in some areas of the country. The doctors, depending on where they are in their career, are like, I don't have to do this now. So 57% say the practice of medicine is in jeopardy because the best and the brightest aren't taking a career in medicine under the requirements of reform. In fact, if they want to be a doctor, they're going into lucrative fields like plastic surgery or other things, and family physicians are becoming a lot more scarce. And unfortunately, part of that is the electronic medical records requirement under this whole reform, pushing doctors away. because they're doing paperwork. They're paper pushers. We have definitely had a slew of different people on talking about this, that the paperwork becomes overwhelming. And why is the doctor doing the paperwork instead of treating the symptoms of the patient? Really actually paying attention to the patient, not just running in at the last second because they have so many people to look at. And I think it's scary. It used to be you'd have two doctor practices, maybe one, but it was okay. You could go see your doctor. You didn't have to wait ridiculously long. And it was, he knew you. He knew your body. He knew, because it's a guessing game, let's face it, even if it's an educated guess. Now, who knows if they know? Who knows if they know? I just have my fingers crossed. I have a great doctor. He's funny. He gets it. He has got the personal touch. He calls you himself. He's not pushing the paper. He's got people to push the paper, and he refuses to push the paper. But he may be pushed out, too, like everybody else. Jane Orient, who's been on the show probably five times, she's the executive director of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, is saying, you know, we've been surveying the members on early retirement and other topics for about a decade. And we keep seeing the same responses, that they're looking at different models, that they're just going to go to work for hospitals because they can't cope with the load of the regulations. It becomes just too burdensome, and then they're not enjoying the practice anymore. Because you would think, or you would hope to think anyway, that why does somebody become a doctor? They kill themselves to get through medical school, especially if they didn't have daddy's dime to push them through. Then they got to pay back all those medical bills because they want to treat people. They either have a God complex, but that might be a good thing if he's your doctor. I don't know. Or they want to treat people. They want to help people. They like dealing with sick people and making them better. And they're good at it. And they can look at somebody and they can tell certain things. And that's the idea. If somebody's had a practice for a while and you and your family have been going for a long time, then they get a sense, and they know what to look at. They know what to look for when they diagnose you versus the guessing game. And it could save your life because you have that kind of a doctor. If we start to have all these stranger doctors, they're not going to know anything. I mean, they're not going to know anything about your previous treatment, even if they read it on charts. It's still not the same thing as the personal touch, the same doctor looking at the x-rays, the whole thing, and knowing you and how you respond and things that have happened in the past. Trust me, that's why it's so hard to find a doctor when you move. Who are you trusting? Who do you get? And this is something that they didn't address very well with the Affordable Health Care Act. They needed to have more doctors involved, and they had less versus more. And I really think they should have done that. They should have done it because the doctors are saying, we're going to boot. And that is a very scary, scary thing, my friends. Very scary, I'd have to say. How about this crazy thing when it comes to, you know, what we're watching when it comes to these sinkholes and things that threaten the land? There was a giant picture on the Seattle Times when I opened my paper, the Seattle paper, I don't think it's called the Times, the Seattle paper, and it really looked like houses were washing into Puget Sound. But you had 11 homes destroyed, 34 threatened, because it's so soaked. The land is so soaked that it's like the landslide started and someone took out half of their little island. And it's amazing that not one person was hurt by this. Nobody was hurt by this. So evacuating and seeing probably future threats, I bet, is something that would be real eye-opening to the people that own those homes. As great as it is to live off a shoreline, how awful it can be when you get hit by a hurricane, by a crazy tornado dust-up, or by having, you know, just the location is so centered along the coast that erosion just pulls it away. So 11 people from 16 houses along a road close to the water were evacuated by boat. They had to go out by boat because the road was blocked by the landslide. Ooh, that would be nasty. They had no way to go except for by water. So these are some of, they have like a typical area. They've got summer cabins, weekend places. They have modest kind of homes and bigger homes than that. I think the Microsoft CEO has a house there, but he wasn't threatened by the slide. Maybe it's better to be a little inland. I think I'll take my house a little inland, please, and I can just look at the view. I'll walk down the street and check it out. I wonder if more people, this is just like Sandy, I'm kind of spitballing here, but I wonder if more people aren't going to buy houses right on shorelines, any kind of shorelines, because of the erosion and the damage and the things that can happen. A lot of people lost it all in some senses because they had investments in houses in Atlantic City or Seaside Heights or any of the areas that were just crucified by Sandy. And it's kind of the same thing here. If you're going to live in an area where you get a ton of rain and you're right on top of this incredible view, but the land is sliding from underneath your feet, ooh, that is not good. And the ones, this is Whidbey Island, which is incredible. It's about 50 miles north of Seattle. No one was injured when a slide actually broke loose at about 4 a.m. in one of the areas. 34 homes had to be evacuated because they saw what was happening and they were smart enough to get the people out of there. But that landslide was really nasty. I mean, it took out just a whole side of a mountain, and it's crazy to look at it. Do yourself a favor, Google Washington or Bing it or do whatever you do and check it out, and you'll just be astonished. Think of a cake where you make a whole cake, somebody came along and literally took almost half of the cake away and you can't find it. That's kind of my strange analogy for what happened to the earth here. Just boom, it's gone. It's fallen in a much different direction. Much different direction. The comedian that some people really like, Louis Anderson, says he's in pain big time. He had a driving problem. He was taping some new celebrity diving show called Splash, and this is a big guy. He weighs like about 400 pounds, and he said that he was driving around, and somehow he hurt himself. And was having problems in trying to get to the taping, and then he had a diving mishap to boot, I guess. And the mishap, he came away with a bunch of bruises and all kinds of bumps. And you know, they have all these celebrities that are diving. I mean, imagine that. You're how far ever up you are, and you're learning how to dive off a diving board. Are you kidding? Greg Louganis, Olympic gold medalist, is coaching all these celebrities, woo, and trying to get them to dive correctly. These people are going to get injured all over the place. You know, the amount of, like Louis Anderson, he says he's at 23 feet diving into 17 feet of water. He says he's, I'm over 400 pounds. What do you think's going to happen to me when I dive? So a little bump on the head from some driving and then some more bumps from diving. He's got a few problems there. And I think the concept of the show is interesting, but boy, oh boy, it seems like it would be a little scary to go up on that diving board, look down and realize you've got no way to bet you're going. And so whatever you learned, you got to get that right splash, if you will, and not end up with bruises and land on your face and chest when you slam into the water like that, when you try to do a flip and you miss the flip. Ooh, that hurts, brother. It hurts.
time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics, life's getting better.
Imagine waking one morning only to find your family shivering in the dark because you couldn't afford to pay your electric bill. That's closer than you think. You probably haven't heard about this yet because the liberal media has been suppressing what is fast becoming the most shocking news story of 2012. Obama's secret war on coal that could increase your already high power bill as much as 400% in coming months. As shocking as it sounds, it may well be just a matter of time before the lights start going out across America. But here's some good news. There's an underground video at exposed123.com that thousands of smart patriots have used to end their slavery to the corrupt electricity monopoly. The video at exposed123.com has already been banned by Google, and the liberal media is doing everything in its power to take it down and keep America in the dark. So watch it now at exposed123.com before it's too late. Again, that's exposed123.com.
Now, don't just walk away.
Can you believe we're here? Sweet 16 and a few surprises, a few Cinderellas, part of the big dance. We've talked to him for the last couple of weeks. We love this guy, Brandon Lang. You want to check out his website, brandonlang.com. And just as an aside, if you haven't heard Brandon, Matthew McConaughey portrayed him in the movie that I love called Two for the Money. He has an interesting story. Brandon, my friend, how you doing? You're on a hot roll, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, took a little bullet in the chest with Virginia not showing up, a little ACC versus the Big Ten tonight, but, you know, had a nice winner with, you know, Houston Cougars, who were down 17-0 on Monday and came back and covered, and then Tuesday night got another one with a nice dog, and then tonight. So overall, still right there where I need to be. A little angry because Thursday night had Harvard in an upset. And then Friday at Cincinnati +3.5. And if you understand basketball, you're down three, under 3 seconds to go. You pull down the rebound. You got to look to the perimeter to get that last three up to tie. Kid doesn't realize what's going on, pulls it down, travels, gives the ball back to Creighton, who then, you know, they inbound and get the token foul. Kid makes one of two, and I lose by a half. And came back on Saturday with Wichita State, another shocker there, wins outright, you're looking good. And then on Sunday, hit a three-team parlay with Florida Gators, LaSalle outright, and yes, Florida Gulf Coast plus the points. But unfortunately, I I loved four games isolated. Creighton is a big play. So still a winning bankroll Thursday through Sunday. But, man, it could have been epic. But we'll take the winning weekend nevertheless.
A win is a win, my friend. Florida Gulf Coast, you mentioned them. The big matchup against the Gators. Any chance here? Any prayer?
No.
No.
As well as they matched up with Georgetown, and as well as they matched up with, you know, San Diego State, they've done a couple things wrong here. You know, one, it's an in-state rival who you're going to be recruiting against now, and Billy Donovan knows this, and they're going to be going after the same kids, and I get that, but there's something to be said about humility with college basketball and kids, and they've lost that. They've popped off. They've, you know, effed the Gators in their pep rally, and you just don't want to do that against an experienced tournament-driven team that's got 4 days to prepare to take you out of whatever it is you think you do well. And Billy Donovan's great at that. And then the example I use is a few years ago, a little team named George Mason ran through the tournament and won four in a row, covered four in a row, went into the Final Four, and everybody drank the Kool-Aid. Now, I had them. I had them in the first four rounds, and they got to the Final Four, and I just couldn't get off the Kool-Aid. And Billy Donovan, with 4 days to prepare, blew them out. 73-58, it was never in doubt, and he just dominated him, and Cinderella was over. Florida Gulf Course, for the first time, isn't catching anybody by surprise. They're going to have to execute, but more importantly, they're going to have to do what makes them uncomfortable. And unfortunately, they're running into a team that held the number one scoring team in college basketball to less than 50 points. Now, just stay with me here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you are and what conference you played in. If you lead the nation in scoring, you still got to make shots. Whether it's a Division II guy guarding you, you still got to knock down shots and you still got to score. To hold Northwestern State to less than 50, and then to bat Minnesota around, who's a big physical team, like you were batting around, you're a cat batting around a mouse. I get the story. I had Florida Gulf Coast Sunday. It's a great story. You know who I feel sorry for, Dana?
I feel sorry
for LaSalle.
Yeah.
Because if Florida Gulf Coast isn't here, we're talking about LaSalle and not them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. LaSalle. And LaSalle's that team, they raised $8,000 so they didn't have to get on a bus. They could fly.
Is that amazing?
Yeah, that is an amazing story because it's like the little team that, wow, how'd you get there? You know?
Yeah, and listen, you're LaSalle. You're a 12 seed. You've won three games in, you know, 5 days, and you're in the Sweet 16, and it's an incredible story because people had you not even getting in the tournament. And of all the Atlantic 10 teams, you're the one left, and it's a great story. No one's talking about them, man. I don't think people are talking about Florida Gulf Coast.
I know.
Oh, man.
I know. Except for the people in Philly, because they can't believe it. Of all the Philly teams that were there, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of people like Indiana and are picking Indiana to, that's it, they're going to go all the way. Indiana and Cuse, what happens there?
I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not a believer in Zeller in the low post. He didn't show me anything against Temple. And believe me, what he's going to see with Syracuse is a little upgrade from Temple. And I know you get caught up in the emotion, and Fran Dumpy's a great basketball coach, and he took Indiana out of what they wanted to do. But I'm not a believer in Tom Crean, and I don't think he's as great a coach. He reminds me of a young Steve Lavin, great recruiter, poor coach. And the only reason why he made some noise at Marquette, because he had a little guy by the name of Dwayne Wade who bailed him out. And then again, he's another coach that's a great recruiter, but just can't coach. And I think they're going to get exposed by Syracuse. And listen, they played around with Cal up double digits pretty much the whole game. But what they did to Montana and how well they're playing right now, I just think it's a bad matchup for Indiana. And I will gladly take the points against a team that I just think can be exposed.
All right, so that's good enough for me listening to that. Michigan and Kansas is another heavily talked about matchup that they could go toe to toe, and this could be a long one.
Still on the fence with this one. I've gone to bed on Monday thinking Burke and the Wolverines are as good as they looked against VCU, and then I wake up on Tuesday morning and go, well, you know what? I think they just matched up well with VCU. And then I go to bed at night on Tuesday night and go, but Kansas was really bad against North Carolina. And I wake up on Wednesday morning, this morning, and I go, yeah, but the way they looked in the second half against North Carolina, how to go against that. So still on the fence with this one. You know, right now, you know, probably leaning a little bit towards the Jayhawks from a value standpoint. How often do you get a number one seed in the Sweet 16 laying a 1.5, 2 numbers from a value standpoint? You just kind of take a step back and say, wow, that's pretty good value. But, you know, I'll have more of a feel for what I'm going to do with this in the morning.
All right, there you go. That's good. Oregon, we have a lot of people listening to us in Portland and in the Oregon area. Oregon versus Louisville. Any prayer for those Ducks?
Yeah, I mean, listen, big time. The key for Oregon, because you know, I stayed up late and watched them in the Pac-12 championship game, was impressed, and it's really the first time I really watched them play. They've got to limit Louisville's runs. And what I mean by that is Louisville has a tendency to take a game from a 6 to a 12-point game before you can blink. You come down, you turn it over, they get a 3, they get a, you know, they get a steal, they bang home a 3, you come down, take a bad shot, they get a layup, 8-0 run, and now it's a double-digit game. You have to limit that. You can't let Louisville get that 6 to 8 to 10-point spurt. If you do that, you can hang around, and then you try to steal the game in the last 5 minutes. That's how you beat them. If Louisville gets you down 10 to 12, they're such a hard team to come back against because of two things. One, they're one of the best defensive teams in the country, and two, they just they're that well coached that they don't give up big leads most of the time against quote inferior opponents. Now I'm saying Oregon's inferior, but I'm saying they got a chance here. Don't turn the ball over. Their guards got to play extremely well, and if they make it a half court game, they got a chance to be in it. It just scares me right now that you go against Louisville, you take the 10.5, and you're kind of sitting there holding your breath the whole game, hoping Oregon hangs. I just feel like, you know what, if you're going to take Oregon, take a deep breath and hope that they play as well as they have to play, because Louisville's just blowing people out right now. What they did in the second half against Syracuse, I can't get out of my mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, BrandonLang.com. Check it out. He'll have some of the stuff that we were just talking about here. He's got a great website. Brandon, thanks for coming on. Enjoy these games that are unfolding.
I got to stop talking so much so we can get to everything you want to talk about. When I get rambling, you're like, we're cut for time here. Hey, Brandon, we'll cut it to like your two-minute answers to a minute, and we can get to all eight games.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. It's funny, there's a couple of, he mentioned LaSalle, and I have a cousin that went to LaSalle. LaSalle taking on Wichita State, and of course, so my family is all over the whole LaSalle story. We talked about Syracuse and Indiana, Arizona and Ohio State's another big one. I'm hedging toward Ohio State in this one. Marquette in Miami is the Thursday CBS game that tips at 7:15 East Coast time, and the Marquette Miami game could be pretty interesting. All right, don't forget here on America Tonight, you can always go to our website, americatonight.net. Hit us up on Facebook that way, and of course Twitter as well. And if you want to let it fly, you want to vent, you know how to do that too. Click on contact and let us know your thoughts, whether it's on the hoop games or some of the other things that we've been talking about here on America Tonight, because, you know, we always do that mailbag segment. So hang with us. We're kicking it to the other side.
Heard about our MRE smorgasbord? Now, Long Life Food Depot introduces the most unique, safe, and longest lasting way to stash emergency food, the Eat Pod. Most survival food products recommend an ideal storage environment, including low temps, low moisture, and low oxygen. If you're storing in a basement, too humid. Garages and attics, too hot. But the waterproof, double-walled, high-density polyethylene patent-pending Eat Pod is a unique roll-away food bunker that creates the perfect conditions. Can be buried up to 30 feet and can keep your survival food supply safe, secure, dry, and virtually undetectable for 25 years or more. Get full details on the Eat Pod at eatpod.com, spelled EATPOD.com, or call 800-601-2833. That's 800-601-2833. The Eat Pod from Long Life Food Depot. Since 1983, sending real food to your real future.